All right. Hey, Monty, start over and tell me about what you were talking about, that recorded call.
Okay, so my question was on the recording, the one where he didn't get the deal. It was about when the seller was asking him what cushion or what is, do you remember? I forgot.
Yeah, I listened to it a little while ago. So if you guys can remind me, it's been about a month.
The seller was asking what the penalty was if they don't buy.
Yeah, like how can he be reassured? Like, you know, say the lease is up, you know, and the guy he wants to pull out. Like, what assurance does he have? And then that's when the guy kind of paused, and I think he lost him there. He didn't reassure him somehow. Instead, he went and said, "Yeah, there is a little risk." So he wasn't, you know, what I mean, he was slowly losing the deal.
I remember now. So basically, what the seller was wanting to find out is, well, what happens if this buyer doesn't buy the house? What if they? I don't know if you said, what if they trash it or something like that?
What if they decide to pull out or don't want to purchase it?
Okay, so basically, the way I answer it, since normally, you know, the tenant buyer is going to be putting money down on this, so they're going to have something to lose. But the way we've got it structured is, as an investor, we're the ones that get that money. So it's not as easy to say, oh, they lose their upfront option fee. That doesn't benefit the seller at all. So what I tell them is, typically, if somebody is doing a lease option, normally if the market rent is, say, $1,200 a month, the market lease option payment would be, say, $1,400 a month. So the seller is going to be getting maybe a couple hundred dollars a month more each month than they would get if they were just to rent it out. So I tell the seller, I'll say, you know, the tenant is going to be paying an extra $200 every single month that would apply towards the purchase, but it's non-refundable if they decide not to buy. So if they don't buy after 2 years, they're going to lose that extra $4,800, and you're going to get to keep it. And at that point, if you chose to, if you wanted, I can go find another buyer as well. I could talk to you, and I could add your property to my inventory, and I could find another buyer for the house. So that's how I would approach it. And then I also say, you know, they're gonna because they're paying extra each month that's non-refundable. It's a pretty, you know, it's a lot to lose, and it's gonna be more likely that they're gonna be paying on time, and more likely the longer they're in it, the more likely they're gonna want to buy it so that they, you know, can take advantage of that money that they put into it.
And have you come upon those kinds of questions yourself?
Yeah, occasionally. So sellers, I think the thing is that we have fear about some of the objections that sellers are going to give us. And as you found out by listening to that recording, and I agree with you. When I remember listening to it, he kind of lost the seller there. And if he would have had a good answer for that seller, then he might have been able to get that deal. But because he kind of hesitated and didn't have a good response, that kind of hurt it. So you're going to find the same thing. As you talk to sellers in the beginning, you're not going to know exactly how to answer every question. And because of that, just the inexperience, you might lose some deals that in the future you're not going to lose. So what I would do is Monty?
Oh, no, see, that's where I don't, you know, want to be. I want to be able to, you know most of the answers to the questions and not, you know what I mean? Because even when he was stalling a little bit there, I was thinking that, no, that's not how I would have, you know what I mean? I wanted to be able to have those particular answers.
So this is what we can do. This is a good thing. One of the things I wanted you guys to do is, if you have not installed Dropbox, is I want you to install it. And with the link that I had given. And hey, Vince, did you email Sally a link?
I did. I haven't heard from her yet, though, but I'd be happy to help her afterwards.
Okay. So when we get all connected with a Dropbox folder, what we'll do is we're going to have one document where we're going to be able to collaborate, and where we're going to have you write in some of those objections. So for instance, that particular objection will have, what happens if the buyer doesn't buy the house? Or what happens if the buyer tenant buyer trashes the house. And then what I'll do and what I encourage everybody to do is go in and provide an answer, a written answer. And what we'll do is we'll formulate objection responses that we can practice. And that way, when we meet over phone or in person in the future, we'll be able to role play. So you can kind of get those down pat. Got it? Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Okay. So and then as you get new objections that you haven't heard before, write them down and then add them to that list, and then we'll figure out how to respond. Because if you can get that stuff down, if you can memorize it so you don't have to think, you're going to have all that confidence and you're going to be able to close more deals.
Yeah, exactly. I don't have all the information from the LeGrand seminars and stuff, but
mm-hmm.
Do you have things like that, you know what I mean, where those scenarios, like, you know, the answer
yeah,
no.
Yeah, well, I haven't written them down. Well, you know, we can start with the LeGrand stuff because Ron LeGrand's thing has got a lot of those objections in there, but I don't know which ones he hasn't answered, so I'd have to look through to find out what's missing in his materials. But we can kind of start with those ones and see how they work.
Okay.
Cool. Monty, before you leave, is there anything else that you needed?
There was another thing that I question I had. When I was looking through the house for rent thing on the internet, I didn't have all that much time to browse through it, but like just say you're looking for a house to rent and you go through all these websites. And you click, and all of a sudden it popped up the whole United States, and it shows, you know, it narrows it down. There's a whole bunch in Washington. I didn't click to it. So I was wondering, I don't know if you guys are familiar with what I'm talking about. Does that sound familiar, where you go to a website, you know, if you need a house for
yeah.
rent,
kind of narrow it down by state and then by area.
Yeah. I didn't go in depth. So let's just say if I were to go, I'm assuming that if I were to go in, I'm looking for a specific place, I'm assuming there was something that would pop up. Now, where are those, you know what I mean, who are these? Are those accumulation of different buyers that's advertising in that one, you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, sometimes, if I understand your question right, sometimes those sites they aggregate information.
Okay.
So there are some websites that will pull Craigslist
mm-hmm.
ads, and they'll put it into, like, a map listing.
Yeah.
There's one called, like, abbyav.com.
Okay.
There's one call. I forget exactly some of the others, but you can actually search by location, where they'll actually have little flags on maps where all the houses mm-hmm. are. It's kind of useful, actually. It might be easier to do that and search
mm-hmm.
that way than it is just to go to Craigslist sometimes, because you can focus
yeah.
on your local area.
And it was convenient because, I just say, I didn't go through all of it. I might check it out later, but, you know, the whole, you know, state, actually, the United States popped up, and you select
yeah.
your own state and narrow it down, I'm assuming,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Right.
And I was wondering, like, on your buyer and seller list, you know, do you have such a thing similar to that? Or how does yours, you know.
On my buyer and seller list, do I have a bunch of what now?
Kind of a similar, you know, layout. Like, I haven't really, I'm sorry, I haven't, I apologize, I have not gone much on your website to browse.
Right.
So you may have.
Yeah, I don't have my listings mapped out.
Okay.
Actually, I have seen Google has there's a plug-in where you, if you have a website, let's say you get a lot of properties to
mm-hmm.
offer for lease purchase, then mm-hmm. there is a plug-in that's for WordPress that allows you to do map listings. And, there's another investor named Will Velasquez who is out of Utah, and I know on his website, if you go to lease, I think it's like leaseoptionut.com or something like that. He does a lot. He's actually a realtor. He flips lease options, but he does it as an agent and does pretty well. So he has a lot of listings, and there on his website, you can see it like mapped out on a map with
okay.
a bunch of flags or whatever.
Okay.
It's pretty neat.
I find that really convenient.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
well, cool. Well, what I would recommend, Monty, and for the other guys also, is you can start off, if you go to Zillow and you
mm-hmm.
find the Make Me Move
yeah.
houses, a lot of times those are people that probably bought near the top of the market or they don't have very much equity. So it's
mm-hmm.
pointless for them to list with a real estate agent because they wouldn't have enough to offer them a commission, but they'll put a make me move price on there just in case somebody happens to find it and who's willing to pay full price for their house without a real estate commission. So you can go in there and you can look in your local area. You can find, you know, select the box that says make me move and only look at those ones. And then you can shoot and you can just type in, and you'll say contact seller and you type a little message. You can say, hey, saw your house on Zillow. Would you consider selling with a rent to own or lease purchase? If so, I'm interested. And then hit submit and you just copy that and then paste it into every single one in your local area and then see who responds.
Oh, nice. How convenient. Okay, gentlemen, thank you for your time. I need to go. I'll catch you next
time. All right.
Bye, Monty.
Good night.
Bye. You too. Bye.
Cool. Hey, Chris, do you want to go over your condo deal? I know it's not an axe deal, but I wanted to chat with you about it.
Yeah. So the one that is in Burien, the first one that we talked about with the cheaper homeowners dues, the one with the email that we were discussing. So let me pull up the email to make it easy.
Is that the one with Marilyn?
Marilyn Akiyama.
Got it.
So I gave her the four offers. It's worth $125, and so I gave her an offer of a lease option at $125 with monthly payments to take into account all the costs and homeowner association stuff. I gave her a seller financing offer at $112.5 with principal payments of $350 a month for 7 years. And her counter was, let me open it. It was $485 a month with 3% interest. Oh, her counter offer was at $115 at 3% interest. So the payments were $485 a month. And
okay.
So she said yearly total would be $5,818. Almost half of that would be principal, just a little over half would be interest.
Got it. All right. So I understand that. So basically, you figure it's worth $125. You can rent it for between 11 and 12, you think?
I'd put $1,050. But yeah, we could rent at 11 or 12.
Well, because you were asking me earlier if would it make sense to accept the 3% interest offer if you can get $1,200 a month, right?
Yeah.
So now, how did you figure out the monthly rental on that property?
What I remember, I have a file under. Let me see what I have in my file. I'm guessing I went off of what the Zillow approximation for rentals were in that area.
I'd want to double check that because I don't know how Zillow is calculating the rent, but if it's considering the rent based on the bedrooms and square footage, not the fact that it's a condo, it might have a big, you know, if you find out other condos are renting for $850 a month, that's going to be a big difference, right?
Right.
So what I would do is see if you can find any condos for rent on Craigslist and see what the going rate for and it's a three bedroom or two bedroom?
Three bedroom, two bath.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, so find out what a three bedroom, two bath condo with similar square footage is going for rent, and just so you can verify that. Now, what I was kind of mentioning before is you originally had an offer of $112, principal payments of $350 a month, and $350 plus, you'd have to add your taxes and insurance. So what's that going to be, about $150 or $200 a month, do you know?
Her taxes were really low. I guess that was something I need to ask you about. If I can pull up the King County info for it, but it was only like I'd worked out to like $20 a month for tax.
Okay, so she probably has a senior exemption if she's older. The taxes, yeah, so I would be pretty surprised if taxes were less than, say, $1,500 or $1,800 a year. So if they're $1,800 a year, that's $150 a month, then you got to figure about $50 a month for insurance. So you'd have $200 that go towards taxes and insurance. So if you're offering her $350, $200 of that tax insurance, it's $550. The homeowner's dues, that's where the killer is. That's going to be $400, is that what you said?
No, this one's $250. $400 for that other one talking about.
Okay, I'm sorry. Maybe I got confused in that earlier. So $250, so that we're $550 plus $250 is $800.
Yeah.
So $800 a month, and you could rent it out for $1,100, then you'd have a $300 positive cash flow, right?
Yeah, I just looked at Craigslist. You're in condo, three bedroom, and there are only two that showed up, but one was $1,100, and one was $1,095.
Okay, cool. All right. So yeah, if it's $1,100 a month, then you could buy it seller financed for zero down, $350 a month to her, and after your homeowner association, you'd still have $300 a month positive cash flow. And then in 7 years, that would have paid down to $83,000. And let's see, $83,000, and then who knows what the value would be. Hopefully it'd be worth more. And how she countered you, she's increasing the payment by $135 a month.
Yes.
So your cash flow would go down to $165 a month. And then your principal, would you still have the same principal? Okay, instead of owing 83 or 88, you'd owe 96.
Yeah.
And so what I was wanting to do is counter back and say, if I'm going to buy the house, then I really can't move on my offer. And in fact, I wouldn't really be move at all. If you want to get $485 per month, then I can set it up that I want to do it as a lease option. And you can maybe show her how she can get the exact same. You already offered her a lease option at $125, right?
That was,
you're gonna get a lot more money if you do it that way. If she sold it on a lease purchase, she would not have to pay closing costs when she sells. If she sold it to you as an owner finance deal, she would have to pay closing costs, and you would have to pay your end of closing costs too. So she would probably have to come out of, she'd have to find about maybe $3,000 or $3,500 to pay. If you did a lease option, you could do a similar, you could structure the deal with the same payments and everything as a lease option and still get your positive cash flow and still get a back-end profit. But the one thing that you eliminate is you eliminate the problem of if there's a big assessment in that condo, in the condominium development. So within the next 7 years, if those things need a new roof or they need new siding or something, they're gonna put the assessment on the owners.
Okay.
And so
I don't want to bring that up to them, though, I'm assuming.
Well, yeah, you don't have to, because that's you know that for your personal stuff, but you don't want to negotiate against yourself.
Yeah.
So But I would show her the benefit. I would just say, hey, really doesn't work out. Doesn't make sense for me from a cash flow standpoint. I need at least $300 a month, and I needed to go to, and in order for me to pay you the price, if you want 3% interest, you could figure out a price that pays on 3% interest. You could say, hey, I'll do 3% interest, but instead of paying you $112, I can only pay you, $85 or $90. I can pay you $90 or something like that.
Okay.
So just counter back and say, hey, I'm fine paying interest, but I have to pay a lower price. If you want the higher price, then I need to set it up as an option. And is there a reason that she said that she wanted to sell it versus lease option?
No, she said she was open to both. She said she's attached to two options she would be most interested in. So it sounds like an equal. I mean, she's fine with the lease option as it is, and if she were to do seller financing, then she would get the lower offer with it. Well,
now, so the lease option offer you made, it looks like, so you made a lease option offer of a full price with a payment of $10.50 for 2 to 4 years. So that would probably be one you'd be flipping, because you haven't built any equity in for yourself. If you're
right.
Offering a full price on lease option, so you would do this as like an axe deal.
Yeah.
Okay. And that could work.
So
in that case, what you do is you would say, hey, the 125 still stands. I won't do your counter, but if you want to do a lease option offer for 125 with $10.50 a month, 2 to 4 years, we can do that. Now, what I'd probably end up doing on some of the houses I get, I may end up finding I've got some buyers that are looking at property. I may end up assigning this and having them be your tenant. And they would pay me a fee for that. But that's probably what I do if we end up doing a lease option. So you let her know that you would be probably assigning that.
Yeah. And there was one thing I'd have to talk to her about is if I were doing, really for any of these, I mean, since I'm kind of juggling these two condo options,
mm-hmm.
I can't live in both of them. So I need to talk to, like, the property manager, building manager, whoever, for both of them, but be like, hey, if I do this lease option thing, then it would be renting, which might go against their, like, quota.
You want to find out if they allow renters in there, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, but I could, like, try to convince them, be like, well, hey, this is not just going to be a regular renter. I mean, this is...
Right.
Going to be someone.
Hey, you can ask for the purchase. She should. You can ask her to provide you with the CCNRs. You'd actually want to see the CCNRs before you do any kind of purchase anyway. That's the covenant codes. Wait, covenant something and restrictions. I can't remember exactly. It's basically the rules of the condominium development. It's going to say, you know, no renters allowed. You know, you have to maintain your property this, you can't paint, you can't have barbecue grills on the patios. It's going to have all, like, the little nitpicky rules,
mm-hmm.
and some of which might have a material effect on the price or whether you want it or not.
Yeah.
And the marketability on it.
Okay.
So, you know, my whole opinion on condos, I really am not a big fan. I have not had as good of luck wholesaling lease options with condos. In fact, I think I've tried on three different occasions to sell a condo on a lease purchase on like a wholesale lease option, and I don't think that I didn't get any one of them. All three of them I had a really difficult time doing, and I'm wondering if it's because when people are already renting, a condo for some people is kind of like just barely a step above renting an apartment. And so maybe somebody who's, you know, wants to get out of an apartment is really looking for a house. I don't know. But however it was, I had difficulty doing it. It doesn't mean you can't sell them, but that's just something to keep in mind.
Okay. Well, I'll give her a call when we get off the phone so I can ask her about CCNRs or at least the name of the property manager or building manager or whatever you call them, to see if I can
mm-hmm.
talk to them about if a lease option would even be allowed, because I don't want to get halfway into this and then find out that I'm wasting my time.
Right,
and,
right.
Because either it would be a lease option or... I'd be trying to rent it out if I don't end up living in this one. So either way, it'd be.
Yeah, and so that's the thing is right, exactly. So find that out, and then it appears to me that your seller finance offer with everything going to principal seems like something that you might be able to work with, as long as there's not any pending assessment. That's the other thing you can ask her. Are there any pending assessments on the property?
Yeah. Yeah, I've got that as a question for me to ask her.
Yeah.
Written down. Pending assessment.
All right, cool. Then is there anything else you need to know before talking to her?
Not talking to her. See, on the other property, I talked to her.
Beacon Hill?
Yeah, the Beacon Hill one. So I talked to her a little bit today, and she talked my ear off about her whole situation, about the attorney and blah, blah, blah. But she was away from her house, and so she said when she'd get home, she'd look at the info of, like, I think what would be, you'd call the CC&R, she said, all the condo paperwork, that type of stuff. What she was describing sounded like CC&R.
Yeah, it's covenants, conditions, and restrictions. That's what CC&R stands for, I just remembered.
Oh, okay. And so I could find out, like, the whole rental thing. And, oh, and the good news, she's behind on the association dues about $4,000, and taxes about $6,000, and then attorney fees about $5,000, so $15,000 total, which I was thinking everything was going to be like, I don't know, way, way more. So I brought up the point of hey, if we can just pay off all that stuff with a down payment and then do the rest for seller financing, that would make it easier on me, because I mentioned that your private lenders, you have that money possibly going towards other things. So if I'm only going to be borrowing like $15,000 or $20,000, that's a lot more doable to make this.
And you could pay a higher price, basically.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
So.
And what does she owe a mortgage on it, or is it free and clear?
It's free and clear. She's just behind that $15,000 worth of stuff that she needs to pay off.
Is this at any risk of foreclosure auction at all? Tax foreclosure?
I don't know.
So what you can do is you can look it up. You can find out on the assessor website there's a property tax bill. You sent me the PDF of that, but if you go back on there and look at the property tax bill, you can see how many years delinquent she is on the taxes. And basically, once you're 3 years delinquent, then they will go to tax auction, tax foreclosure, and so. She is this year's taxes were due, or this first half taxes were due April 29th, or April, I think it was the 29th. No, 31st, or 30th, sorry. But if she's on the point where she has a tax foreclosure potentially coming up, she'll have until the end of this month, May 31st, in order to pay the furthest year delinquent. She can kick the can ahead by paying 1 year's tax, and that buys her an extra year. But she needs to do that prior to by May 31st. Otherwise, the only way she can stop tax foreclosure is to pay the entire tax arrearages. And
she's not 3 years behind. She's I think it's the second half of 2010 until now.
Oh, okay. So she's got almost 2 years, a year and a half.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Well, yeah, so what I would – and it looks like she was actually deeded the house by maybe a parent or something. Did you see that in the county where she got it? Yeah, she got it on 1998 or whatever.
Yeah.
Well, this house hasn't cost her anything. Any money she gets to it where it's kind of found money. So hopefully that will help in the negotiation. So I would do what I would do is did you make her an offer yet?
No, I called her. She said that she was going to call me back when she got home, 5:30 my time, and she didn't call me back, so I called her at 6 her time. She's in Washington, D.C., so I called her at 3,
And this is the one you've been trying to get inside, and she's really motivated to sell.
Yeah.
So cool. So I would do an offer at, say, 60 to 65 cents in the dollar cash. I would do an offer at, say, 75 to 80 cents as a split fund, so 50, half now, half later. Do a 90 cents in the dollar less repair fully financed offer, and try for a 10-year term. Go for as long a term as you can.
I figured out you can 10 even, and 15.
What's that?
I figured it out for 10 and 15 years.
Yeah, so that would be numbers. And some people, I know investors that have been saying, hey, I'll pay you $200 for your house. I'll pay you $500 a month until paid. So $500 a month for 400 months.
That's awesome.
And then, that could be an offer. And then if that doesn't work, then you can go, well, okay, how about 15 years, 10 years? So that's a possibility. All right, so do that, and then I wouldn't mention hold off on like a lease option offer until you figure out if you can get any of these ones done, and then if those don't get accepted, you can go to like a sandwich or like a wholesale lease option type deal.
For condo number two.
Yes, for condo number two. And because what's that?
Nothing.
Yeah, so for Beacon Hill, do that, and you can. Since there's a lot of motivation, it wouldn't hurt you to drop your first offers a little bit, just to see where she counters. Because if you make an offer, you normally would pay 65 or 70, dropping it down to 60 to 65 or even 55 to 60% of value can give you a starting point where maybe it can help you make a little extra dough.
But I figured out if I were, I set the rent or what I'd be paying or whoever would be paying at $1,100 a month, so minus $407 for the homeowners association. I found out why it's higher or why it's so high. It's based on square footage of the different units, and since it's a corner unit, it's like those three that are on the corner have $407 a month as both the other ones, which are like two-thirds the size, so they have lower homeowner association dues from the other units. So,
I see.
And she said that she didn't think that they were having any special assignments coming up because they're doing so many things with it that are being paid by the homeowners association dues. They're not doing any.
Yeah, and you can also in the you should be able to have she should be able to get a copy of their finances. It'll show how much money that the association has in the bank. And
yeah,
that's the other thing.
Send that to me.
She was okay.
She's
cool.
Gonna send me the budget tonight.
Awesome. That's perfect. That's great. Okay. So you can always use that as a negotiation tool if it doesn't look favorable. But I think that sounds like you've got a seller who is motivated, they're definitely motivated, and with it being free and clear and her being out of state, I think every single one of these things is shaping up to make potentially a deal out of this.
Yeah. And
awesome.
Yeah. So I just, it's 10 o'clock her time. And so I'm not going to call her tonight. And she was supposed to call me earlier, and she didn't. So I don't know what's going on with that. But I'll call her again tomorrow.
Okay.
But I will call the Burien condo lady tonight, Marilyn.
Perfect.
So.
All right. Sounds good, Chris. Anything else?
I think that's it. Are you going to Reeps on Thursday?
I don't know. It's kind of up in the air on that. I would like to, but it just depends on what I've got going on over here. So,
okay.
And hey, Vince, did you want to chat about any of the stuff that you had going, or talk more about this the email you sent?
Yeah, I think I'd like to talk a little bit more about that.
Okay.
I got my contract stuff back from the attorney, and so I think I've got what I need to go out there and get something under contract, I think. Only, you know, doubt starts to creep in because I think, okay, I'm going to, if I've talked on the phone and said, okay, well, so if you'd be fine with this price and this rent during, for a lease option, then I'd like to see the house. So then I schedule a time to go out there. And I've got the lease option, or I've got the lease agreement, and I've got the purchase and sale agreement, and I'm starting to wonder what exactly I have them sign now. They would sign that I would fill out the basics of the agreement, but it could still change, I think, is also what I heard from Doug. And so I'd put my name on it, and we'd get the owner's signature. On the purchase and sale, we'd just agree on the price that it would sell for and not sign it, because that would start executing the option with a timer to go get financing and that kind of thing.
Yeah, well, so this is where I'm going to have a harder time explaining what to do, because I've been using an option to lease option in order to do these deals, so this is kind of new to me. I do remember from listening to the Ron LeGrand CDs that he actually said something about just getting a letter of intent, and then he has all the other paperwork filled out at the attorney's office. So whether or not a letter of intent actually gives you the legal right to advertise the property, I don't know. Did the attorney mention anything about that at all?
You know, I'm going to ask him. I don't think I asked him that.
Because look back into your binder of materials, and I think that there's a letter of intent that Ron has him sign. In fact, in the audio that comes with the course, go to the part where it talks about signing paperwork with the seller. And from what I had thought, I thought they said the only thing you need to get signed in the house is that letter of intent. But if a letter of intent is not a legal binding contract, I don't know how that puts you as a principal. So I can tell you what I do. If you wanted to go and use the paperwork I have, the option to lease option, then what you do is you would fill out the purchase price, the monthly payment, if there was any amount that the seller was requiring as part of their down. I would try to just eliminate the section that says minimum upfront option consideration required. And then only if they ask, you'd put that in there. So you're basically going to option it at zero down or zero upfront option fee, $1,200 a month, the sale price of $200,000, and then when you guys both sign the option to lease option, then you have the legal right to market that. If you show a buyer and you qualify them and everything, you can actually fill out lease and option to purchase agreement between you and the buyer, collect the upfront option fee, and then you can assign that agreement to the seller. And so you assign your interest as the lessor over to the back to the seller. And that's the way I've done it.
Okay, is that assigning the option to lease option agreement, or is it lease?
No.
Assigning?
What I do is I exercise my option to lease option by providing a signed lease agreement and a signed option to purchase agreement between me and the buyer. So that indicates my exercising of my option to lease option. And then when I sign with the buyer, I'm collecting the fee from the tenant buyer, and then I assign all the paperwork back to the seller. So now I'm out of it as a seller landlord, and the seller now has the tenant.
Okay. So you don't exercise your option to lease option until you've found the buyer.
That's right.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I think I'd like to do that. That sounds better to me.
It's easier for me to wrap my mind around it than it is
to
do it the other way. And maybe it's just because it's new, because I just learned that from Ron. But that's how I have been doing it. So I'm comfortable with it. But, you know, I don't know if your attorney wants to take a look at that paperwork to find out if it's good for you. He may have some suggestions. I don't know. So that's what I've done.
Okay. Well, if you're fine with that, I'd like to have him review the option to lease option.
Sure. That's fine.
Okay.
I could probably, I'll email you a soft copy of it. I think you got the hard copy, but I'll send the soft copy.
Okay. And I think you meant to include a lead form with fillable fields, but I don't think that made it into the email.
No, that's in the Dropbox.
Okay.
I'll have that, but I needed people. I guess, are you using the same email for your Dropbox as what your regular email is that I've been emailing you on?
Yeah.
I'll invite you to that shared folder.
Okay.
And then I was hoping
I'd be able to email
you back. What's that?
Which shared folder is this?
I haven't shared it with anybody because I'm waiting for people to tell me with the Dropbox. I have your Dropbox. I can share it with you easy, Chris. So I'm going to have the forms for or any kind of documents from this little group in there, and I'll do it when I get home. I'm on the road right now.
Okay, so let me just jump back to this one deal in Tacoma. And so you were a little concerned about the price at 220, but if he was firm on that, and I would want to go out 5 years on a lease option if he needed that price.
Does he need that price because that's what he owes, or does he owe less? I forgot.
I think he owes 105.
Oh, 105. Oh.
Or two. I'm sorry, 205.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So one thing I would ask, there may be a reason why 220 is in his mind, and he may have tried to back out all his costs to sell, and he figured that would be get him out for free. Do you know if that's the case?
I don't. I know that he had another investor offer him 219, and then it fell through. I think it was another lease option.
Okay, so somebody offered him to do the same deal as what you're offering.
I think so.
Okay. Well, I mean, so obviously he's okay with doing some sort of arrangement. What I would tell him is, are you just looking to get out of this what you owe? Because you're not going to have that much cost. And if you want to get a 220 price on this then I don't know if I'm willing to do that. There's a lot of houses I can buy for market value, let alone pay a premium.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can do a takeaway close, and it's a good practice for a takeaway close too, just to see what he says.
Wait, I'm not sure I know about that. What's takeaway close?
Takeaway close is where you basically sit, you just back your offer off the table, you kind of pick up your binder, and you start walking out the door, and then the seller at that point is kind of going like, whoa, I had a bird in hand, and now I'm losing him. Oh, okay, and then you have a better chance of getting that. So he may feel that he may be willing to sell for what he owes, but he'd love to see if he can at least get something out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And he won't back down unless he feels he's losing you. So once you say no and you start walking away, at that point, he may reconsider. That's what's called a takeaway close.
Okay.
So I'm taking away my offer. Mr. Seller, I can't do, I'm sorry, I can't do that. I wish you good luck, you know, if anything changes in the future, let me know. And, you know, if you're just talking to him on the phone, you're figuratively, not literally, but figuratively walking out the door. So you're taking it away. So that's what I would do. I would say, you know, from everything I'm seeing, for comps, it doesn't even look like 200 is a sales price. It looks like 180. I'm seeing houses for 180, 190, or whatever your comps say.
Mm-hmm.
So I just can't see how I can pay 220. Now, you had another investor that was going to pay you 220, but obviously that fell through. Why did that fall through? And start asking him questions on that one. And ultimately, you said that you are going to make the rules here. So say, I'll tell you what, are you ultimately just looking to get out of this for what you have in it? I mean, if you had to sell through an agent right now, you'd probably have to come to the table with $25,000 to sell. Now, I know you don't want to do that. If I were to buy the house from you cash, the most I could pay would be about $140,000 for it. And I know obviously you don't want to do that. What I'm offering is a way for you to be able to sell without having to come out of pocket. And instead of just your option of maybe just renting it out where, you know, you'd have to take care of maintenance and manage a tenant, what I'm offering is for you to not have to worry about maintenance or management and have a deal where you get out for without having to pay money.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any way, if that doesn't work for you, it's okay to tell me no, but that's what I can offer.
Okay.
So, because it's going to be hard, you want to negotiate a deal that's going to be easier for you to sell. And I know that House Zillow is for 180, right? That's the one that Zillowed for 180.
I'm not. I don't remember. I don't have it on my lead sheet as.
Well, check that because
okay.
Find out. Not that Zillow is going to be always correct, but one thing that Zillow does is a website that the average person can check. Most people, if they want to know what a house is worth, they go to Zillow, and some people take it as gospel. They'll go, oh, well, it's only worth 180. So you're going to have a harder time selling that house at 220 as you will selling at 205. Or getting in a contract for what he owes on a 10-year note, and then when you go to sell it, you can prepare on your website or something, an amortization schedule to say, hey, lease to own this house right now. I have 10 years to buy it, and in 10 years, you're only going to have to pay $140,000 for this house or $160,000 for this house because of the amortization on it.
Right, yeah. This one was the 180.
It is 180 on Zillow?
Yeah.
So,
okay.
Always remember with these deals, they're a dime a dozen. You should never have to beg a seller to work with you or have to go with a seller's price, which is unreasonable. And I think that 220 is unreasonable for the house.
Yeah.
And so this will give you an opportunity to practice like some of that negotiation skill and just really take the stance that you're here to help them out and you just simply can't, you know, you'd love to be able to pay $220, but from everything you're seeing, there's just no way you can make it happen. And so, you know, hey, I'm just going to have to pass. I wish you good luck. If things change, let me know. And there's a decent chance that he's going to come back. Because who else is going to pay $220 for his house? And if he rents it, he's in the same position he is now, except worse because he's going to be a landlord with management and maintenance. So I wouldn't worry about another seller being able to match what he wants for it and have you lose the deal that way.
Okay.
So,
well, that's I think that's all I needed to know about that deal.
Okay.
Thank you.
And is anything else on like that triplex or duplex or whatever?
No, I got to just go find out more about that one because it sounds like it could be a big fixer, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, I would try to find out what they owe on it because it looks like they are asking or they had it listed for sale for like $265 or something like that. Which to me seems like quite a bit. It almost seems like somebody who had listed it to try to clear out a mortgage, like they had refinanced. They bought it in 93 or something, like way a while ago. But I would be willing to bet that they refinanced. Or no, bought it in 2003. Something like that. So, well, we've been out here for an hour or so. Chris, are you still on the line?
Yeah.
Okay. Is there anything last minute before we go? Because I probably have to get finished up here.
Not the thing. I was probably going to say I need to head out so I can make that phone call, and then I get dinner plans afterwards. So.
Cool. All right. Well, good luck to both you guys. Let me know how it goes, and then I will I'll share the Dropbox folder with you guys.
Okay. Thanks, Mike. Bye, Chris.
All right. See you later.
Good luck. Thanks, Terry. Bye-bye.